Today's podcast is brought to you by the folks at Urban Float, the premier flotation therapy spa in the Mid-Atlantic. Experience the ultimate in weightless relaxation as well as the healing benefits of 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. Call 302-232-3141 to book your first float or book online at urbanfloat.com and use the code FIRSTTIME to get 50% off your first float. Renew, refresh, and revive at Urban Float. 3, 2, 1. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Just like I said I was going to do, right?
Yeah.
Pull it a little bit closer. That way, I know it's a pain in the ass. I'm going to get better microphones one day. I'm going to get really professional ones, and then we won't have this problem. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
It's beautiful Monday morning here in Luton.
It's been great so far.
Enjoyed. I'm surprised you didn't say, what's Luton?
I don't know what Luton is.
It's half Lewis, half Milton.
Oh, that's really funny. Okay, great.
We're holding down the Luton corner over
nice.
Here.
Nice.
It feels like it should be Lewis.
Yeah.
But it's Milton.
We're right in the...
Actually, you know what? I'm actually proud to say that it's Milton because I love Milton. And Milton's really
it's going a cool for little it. Town. It's shaping up. New fun things are happening there.
Well, I feel like Milton's really hitting it out of the park. I mean, there was, you know, when I first opened the salon 10 years ago, I felt like this was the island of unwanted toys. And now I feel like this is really absolutely. Right on the line of a lot of great changes, a lot of new people moving down.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think anybody that comes out here initially probably wishes they were in Rehoboth, but 10 right. years later, I'm realizing I'm glad I'm not.
Yeah, not right in the thick of it.
Yeah, no disrespect, but there are a lot of people interested in going down there on a daily basis yeah. lately. So
absolutely, and there's all different aspects of each town that are, you know, are great or appealing to different people. So
well, first of all, thank you for coming on. You want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Greer Thompson. I'm a Rehoboth Beach native.
Nice.
And I have Heart Wish Healing Center in downtown Rehoboth Beach.
Where is that exactly?
Yeah, it's in the same building as the Culture Pearl Restaurant and Pineapple Princess and Rehoboth Beach Running Company. We're located directly below Starbucks in the basement level.
That's where Zebras used to be.
No.
Nope.
That Whoops. Is actually down the street, about a half a block.
No, not the restaurant. Wasn't there Tommy and Tony?
Oh, Fur.
Fur. Oh.
It's okay. Tony and Tommy.
Yeah, they yes. had Fur.
Correct.
Was it downstairs?
It was. In fact, the space that I'm in has had a few incarnations. Fur was one of them. Then there was a different spa salon, and I'm forgetting the name of it.
I can't remember either.
And then there was Kaya Wellness.
Ah.
And then I came in to the space 6 years ago.
Well, 6 years, that's a pretty long time. So you must be doing a pretty good job down there.
Yes. My first year, I was across the street in this little teeny house building. It no longer exists.
Is that the one with the bad front door?
It had a bad front door.
Yeah.
Yes. And then eventually it had a bad floor.
A
bad roof. But anyhow,
and then it's
it
on
was
its way to...
kind of perfect, though, for my start. And it was one room, real keep it simple type of thing. And when the building started going, Susan, who's the owner of the Culture Pearl and my landlord, she said, Greer, I've got a space. I think it will work. And I wasn't interested at that time in taking over the whole space, but I was able to take over the three treatment rooms behind the French doors. So I had a little under around 700 square feet that I operated out of. And over the last 6 years, I've expanded a little. So,
well, this podcast, the premise of the podcast is really one small business helping another.
Awesome. Well, I'm all about networking, so.
But it's also, and you know, we can network and we can.
Supporting each other and, yeah.
Yeah, and we can share your name, we can share your location. But some of the, you know, for me, it was always about, you know, I always wanted to open a business. I'm going to start my own business. And there was a friend of mine, and he's like, either do it or shut up.
Right.
And he helped me, and I did it. But there's a lot of people, whether there's a lot of people listening to the podcast or just a lot of people in general that are all sitting behind some desk doing something that they hate going,
yeah,
I just want to open my own business. I'd be great at whether it's cooking, wellness, fitness, cutting hair, podcasting, whatever it is. But it's that first step.
Absolutely.
It's so scary.
Definitely was not meant to sit behind a desk.
Well, like, I don't think a lot of people are really meant to sit behind desks. And I always feel, and I personally, quietly, I feel bad for them. You know, I feel like they should be doing other things, but, you know, maybe
but
that's what makes them
happy. That's what they need to get to the next step, you know, or that, you know, there's a lesson to be learned with having to sit behind a desk or having to work for somebody else or being told what to, you know, we learn or we figure out what we're looking for, what works and what doesn't work. And
well, there's some humility to it.
Absolutely.
Following direction.
Sure. Absolutely.
So I guess, you know, what I like, you know, one small business helping another, but what I really like is when we can share stories about people like maybe you. Who did you work for somebody before opening your own spot?
I've worked for lots of people doing lots of different things, not with massage though.
Okay.
I graduated massage school and went right into business for myself. That was kind of the plan. But I have had a very
humbling,
eclectic career so far, you know, work history, I should say.
Humbling
very
past.
Diverse. Absolutely. I've worked anywhere from in kitchens, hot boiling kitchens, on my feet for 11 hours a day to managing a little hippie shop in Rehoboth, Sunshine Octopus, doing home birth work as an assistant home birth midwife.
Nice.
So, you know, there's all kinds of stuff.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Cape and Levin High School. I graduated in 1993.
Where'd you go to massage school?
Academy of Massage and Body Work in Bear, Delaware.
Nice.
It's about an hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes if you're got a heavy foot like mine.
Went to DLI.
DLI.
The Delaware Learning Institute of Cosmetology and Massage.
No,
it's up in Dagsboro.
In Dagsboro. They actually, I had originally enrolled in their massage program, and I was supposed to start in fall of 2012, and the program kind of fell apart that summer or something happened. I don't know if they got it together and offer it again, but at that time, I'm not sure the details, but about 5-6 weeks before I was supposed to start, they let me know that the program wasn't going to happen. So I had made choices with my current job to leave it, and I was planning on just going to school for the next 10 months. So I thought, oh my gosh, I just had the rug pulled out from underneath of me, and I went and took a day off of work, went upstate, toured 3 different schools.
Sorry.
This was the third one. It's all good. And just kind of rolled with it and started a month later.
Massage school, hair school, you know, people always say, you know, when I went to hair school, or they ask me, you know, in hair school, do they teach you how to do all these great cuts and all this stuff? I'm like, no,
nope.
They really don't. They teach you sanitation, safety.
Give you the rules, ethics.
Right, you know, how to keep clients. But
sure.
At some point, it's about, you know, your personal touch, you know?
Absolutely.
No pun intended.
Absolutely.
And it's funny. I always think, you know, I'm not big into massage. And I think it's because I have 3 kids, and for some reason, it just seems expensive to me. But when I get a massage, I'm like, I leave and I try to schedule one for every month. It's like, it's so important.
Absolutely.
And I need to do it more. And I just forget. It's like.
And by the way, 60 minutes is never enough.
Well, can I share you my latest massage story?
Oh, sure. I'd love it.
So my wife and I went to Mexico to this resort, Breathless. And this is how massage makes me crazy. So we go to this resort, and we had this free complimentary, I should say, neck and shoulder massage.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was neck and head. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Everything above the shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's great. When I used to work at Bad Hair Day, we used to offer a scalp massage. And you would sit down in this little chair with your face in the thing, and, you know, we'd rub their hair and put in oils and stuff. And it was fun. It was cool. And I thought, well, that's probably what we're going to get. So on the last day of our trip, we decided to book our complimentary massage. So we show up, and as soon as we walk into the spots, like, you know, the smell of tea tree or whatever that aroma, just the calmness. And right away, I'm just, oh, yeah, I love spas. Yeah, you get entranced. Mm-hmm. I love spas. They're just the best. And this resort where we were at, they just had such a beautiful spa. And so we go in. Right away, we get all undressed, get into these robes. I'm like, well, this isn't just a regular scalp and head massage. This is serious. And we go into these rooms, and it's just such a wonderful experience. And she worked me over. I mean, I think an elbow came out and started doing some elbow stuff on my shoulders. And I was like, oh, my God. And afterwards, I was so relaxed. We rescheduled for the next morning a full body,
uh-huh.
Yeah. Aqua therapy. You know, because it's just
all the bells and whistles.
Yeah, and it was an amazing experience. And oh my God, I was so sore. And it showed me that when I stopped getting massage, how brutal a massage can be. It's just because I just haven't had a great massage. And you know, like when that elbow comes out and starts working on that, whatever this muscle is to the side of my spine below my shoulder, and just start. I'm like, oh, you know, you can't. You're trying to struggle with holding your breath in. It's just. All that energy is bound up in there, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, there is also a point in which too much is painful and maybe working against, you know.
Every
therapist is different, and some are subtle and some are not.
Right, but you know when you get a massage and you're like, okay, that I remember last time it really hurt. So then you go and you get a massage and they don't hurt you, and you're like, That wasn't very good, you know.
It really depends, I think.
There's a fine line.
There's a fine line. There's your threshold of how far you can take it.
Well, and usually every person that I've gotten a massage usually asks me, what's my level that
exactly.
they can, which is...
Are you looking for something that's strictly relaxing, or are you looking for something more therapeutic, working out knots and tight spots and adhesions, anything like that, where you may require... deeper work.
Right.
So I guess it really depends on what you're looking for and also the style of the therapist. Because like anything else, we're all, like I said, very different.
Very.
And our clients are very different. And we're all looking, you know, when you can get the right combination, though, it's perfect. When you find the right therapist or they do exactly what you were looking for, it's like, ah. And I find that for myself as well, because some days I want something different than others.
So do you get a lot of massages?
Well, I try to take care of myself in the off season, like extra. This time of year, this is my busy season, so I don't think I've had one since sometime in June. But I remember in June when I finally needed one, it was like, oh. I can't give another massage. I need one. You know, you get to this point where you're going, I've got to take care of myself. Oh, that massage sounds great for that person, but yeah, I need it now. So you have to, I think to be a good massage therapist, you've got to take care of yourself. You have to receive others, massage work yourself. I can't tell you how many massage therapists I talk to that are burned out. That haven't had a massage in not just a couple months, in 6 months, a year. I gave a massage therapist a massage recently who hadn't had one in 2 years. Mm. And I thought, wow, how many have you given in that time that you haven't received? And that's just not balanced. No judgment, but it's there's something to be said for walking your talk, but also taking care of yourself and living that so that others follow suit, you know.
Well, I agree. And I think...
being an example.
I mean, you can tell me if this is wrong, but I would imagine that when you're giving a massage, you're passing your energy.
Absolutely.
You know, and if it's always being passed out, start to become drained of your...
Sure.
Of your energy.
Sure. 100%. I will say, though, doing massage work, when I'm in a massage, I am tuned in with that client, but I'm receiving stress reduction. It is therapeutic to me as well and relaxing to some degree. I mean, if I can take a step out of my day and be present there while my client's on the table and working with them, you kind of flow. You're flowing together. You are reaping some of those benefits. But yes, too much of output and not enough input.
That's what happens after 2 years. You get spent. You're drained out.
Absolutely. I usually find somewhere around a 6 week to 6 to 8 week period, if I haven't been regular enough in there, that's around when I start noticing, oh, it's time. And I'm getting there. Approach August, you know, it's like, okay, so.
The other problem I have with massage is that if I get one, my wife gets all mad.
Yeah.
I wanted a massage. So, like, I can't, it's hard for me to go get massage while she's working, you know.
Sure, absolutely. You feel guilty. You're going, oh, I'm just, but maybe the trick is to make sure. To book one for her and have it waiting an hour.
We just did the Urban Float this past weekend. Have you floated?
I have not yet. I would love to go in and support Amy and Carlos. I have yet to do it. I find the whole thing sounds just delicious. And I look forward to
it's a little salty.
A float. A little salty, but you know, right now I've just been floating in our ocean. I try to get in several times a week. I think Saturday I dunked in the ocean, jumped in probably 6 or 7 times in a few hours, and it was just amazing.
We jumped in the ocean Friday night. You know, there was a time a couple years ago, you know, I was at the beach. You know, I would go after work. I'd just go jump in. Yeah. I mean, it's just, and then, you know, life gets busy and kids, and you just, and I told my wife the other day, I said, I need to start being able to go back and jump in the ocean in the evenings.
Yeah.
So we went on Friday night. We jumped in around 8:30. The sun was going down.
Perfect.
And the water, you know, in the middle of the day, the water, you know, nice water even feels cold because just how hot it is.
Sure.
But when the sun goes down, it's not so brutally hot. And the water is just, I mean, it was perfect. It was just a night, and it seemed super clean. I don't know. It was just it was a perfect night.
Sounds,
a beautiful sunset.
Sounds like a perfect evening.
I don't think you can find any, I was trying to explain this to my son. I go, there's nothing in life, that giant, big, massive energy that can just pass through you without, like, knocking you out, you know? Like, you know, a big wave, and it just moves through you. Mm-hmm. And I always say it just washes that energy away from me, that, you know,
absolutely.
that day energy from the day.
Sure.
You know, I said, try to hold a piece of plywood up and try to stop the wave. You know, it would flatten you.
Right.
But if you just let it pass across you, I don't think there's any other force or mass of energy that can do that. Maybe wind, but even wind, I think, would probably blow you down. So it's great for me. I love it. I see your tan line, so I can see you're out there taking advantage of
absolutely.
Our beaches.
Absolutely. And our bike trails. I did the Gordon's Pond Trail this morning, and I was actually going to jump in at the end of the ride, and I thought, I better hurry up and get showered and get up here to Milton.
I really appreciate
to
you.
Luton,
to Luton. I appreciate you, because I always say anybody that can take an hour out of their day and come hang out with me and do a podcast
is... Well, Mondays are great. I usually try to take it off or at least work from home, something like that, so it's a little more flexible than... The rest of my week.
That's funny that you mentioned the Gordon's Pond, because there was a time when I was doing a lot of running, and my buddy and I, James, would run Gordon's Pond
then
it
was awesome
jump in the ocean after the run. I haven't been able to do that this year. So you reminded
goals.
Me. Yeah. Do some stuff.
That
should be my goal. What did you say? You grew up, born and raised here?
Yep. Sure have.
What do you think? I mean, do you want the changes that are going on in this area are just kind of crazy, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, good and bad, I suppose.
I think they're happening everywhere, honestly. So, and we've got a great little spot here.
Bubble.
There's the Cape and Lipan Vortex. Once you come or you're here, you know, it's sometimes hard to leave. Everyone's drawn here. There's a lot of wonderful culture that has come about in the last few decades with this change. We have phenomenal restaurants, great places to stay, lots to do. These bike trails are getting better and better every year.
Do you like the fact that they're putting asphalt down? Do you like that?
On the trails?
Yeah.
That's a tough one. Yeah. I mean, I guess perhaps it helps with some trail erosion. I don't know. You know, I like the
stone,
light stone. Run. Absolutely. But I've rode both.
Well, I live over by the Junction Breakwater Trail. I live kind of at the end of like Wolf Neck Road. Okay. So I usually, you know.
Which is a beautiful trail, too. I love that.
Yeah, it's spectacular over there. And I'm just, you know, I run from my house to the trail, do a great run, and then, you know, get back to my house. I don't even have to get in the car. And unfortunately, we have a small house, 3 kids. We've outgrown the house, but we're like, we're not leaving this house.
That's because spot. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just, it's key to have that trail next to us. And, but then I just noticed, you know, because they're doing, I guess they've just converted all the train tracks into trails, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But then I've just noticed that a lot of them are now blacktop.
Which for a runner, you know, that's not the best thing. You would probably prefer the non-asphalt.
The Crush and Run allows us to run and do stuff like in the winter. Like it can snow.
Absolutely. And you're still getting some traction or some grip.
Right. And the asphalt, I mean, it could be icy. I had just thought about that. I'm not complaining about it, but what I was wondering is if we're going to put blacktop down, because you're not allowed to take scooters on there.
Right.
So I'm like, why not make them a little wider and give a scooter lane? Because, you know, we have all these scooters everywhere now, all riding the highway. I mean,
I imagine that one reason would be safety of pedestrians more so, just having higher speeds on there. I mean, even as someone who rides a bike rather quickly, you know, there's times where...
The Tour de Rehoboth.
Yeah, you know... One thing I notice on the trails, a lot of people forget to share the trails.
Right.
They're walking arm and, you know, straight across it. You've got traffic coming two ways. Sometimes you have bikes, you have people passing. It's just like on the road. Stay to the right, pass on the left, share it.
Well, I've run the trail, I've walked the trail, and I just started riding my bike on the trail. I've been annoyed by people on bikes, and now I've been annoyed by people on bikes that are slow, and I've been annoyed by people that are walking.
Yeah.
It's weird how we can be, you know, because I've run the trails forever, and you know, it drives me crazy, these guys and gals that ride the trail so fast, you know, like they're...
I'm probably one of them.
So, and then they're yelling,
honestly,
left.
I do. I say I'm passing on your left because... I don't want to startle someone, but I also want them to be aware that there is someone coming up. So, you know, I think using proper etiquette and being aware of the other people on the trail, letting them be aware of you, are really important. So,
yeah, I agree.
There's times to slow down for sure, especially around children, larger groups. But yeah.
Some people get very annoyed. They'd prefer that nobody walk the trail, I think.
I think people would be would prefer that things are all to themselves.
Right.
You know, it's like that.
What are you doing on my trail?
Edge of entitlement. Like, where is it, my trail, your trail? No, it's all of ours. So we've got to figure out how to.
I started doing this. I was running for a while, and then I started doing my bike. And I ride from my house to the boardwalk and back. It's 10 miles. It's not big ride, but it, you know, shakes out the cobwebs from the night. And I'm riding and I'm starting to be annoyed by people on the trail that aren't going as fast. I'm turning into the guy that used to really annoy me.
Yeah.
And I rode Saturday morning and I decided I'm going to go around these people. So I cut through some trees. And I'm like, look at that. So it looks like that's been done before. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to cut through left. And I cut through this hole and there's a root there and bam.
Bam.
I'm like, oh
no.
Wow, that didn't work out. I didn't crash, but I felt like an idiot. And I felt like, you know, like the rules didn't apply all of a sudden to me.
Right.
You know, I was inconvenienced and away I go. I do think that it's not going to get any better. You know, more people are using the trails, which is what we want.
Mm-hmm.
I think the trails are awesome. When I rode on Saturday, there must have been 50 people between walking, running, and riding bikes. It's awesome.
Sure.
But I think eventually we're going to have to address something, make them wider. I mean, I do believe that it's a great... We have so many scooters out on the highway now. I mean, it would be... If we could figure out a way to make it But then they'd be going 100 miles an hour on the trail. So you're right.
Yeah, I might nail some little kid that just pops out. You know, there is, you know, it's that double-edged sword.
It's a double-edged sword. And, you know, we're peaking out. The summer's getting ready to kind of peak. And
we're going to get those trails back.
We're going to get them back.
We'll be one of the few on there and enjoy that off-season.
I'm going to be running and you're going to come blowing by me. Left. I'm going to be like,
hey, Tom, be careful. Yeah. Jump aside. No.
Son of a, hey, girl, what's happening?
You'll just see my braid.
Yeah. Oh, is it, do you wear a braid when you ride?
I do.
All right, I'm going to be looking
now
for
you'll
the
know.
Braid. Well, and it's also, you know, it's you know, we were talking a little bit before, you know, sometimes I'll be out running and I'll come up just on a girl out there running by herself. And I'm like, oh, geez. So I get all the way to the right. Yeah. I don't make eye contact. I just stay, you know, stay. Because it's, you know, I don't want people to be worried. And it's,
absolutely. And that's another thing, this trail safety, especially off season, women running alone, probably, you know, definitely probably better off in daylight. I've done some trail running in the evenings and when I probably shouldn't have and no longer do that. No longer run.
I came up on a girl who was squatting on the trail peeing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was like, beautiful. turn around, going the other way.
Yeah, like maybe go in the bushes a little bit.
A little bit.
Just a pinch. There might be someone else coming out. Yeah.
There was no shame in her running game. Oh, she was probably like miles into it. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah, right. I've been holding it for a half mile, and she's like, God, you know. Well, who knows?
I turned around and went the other way. I said, I'm not getting into that.
No.
Do you, do you get away for vacation? I know, mm-hmm. You know, the funny thing is we live here.
I do.
A friend of mine, you know Carlos, so he, you know.
I don't know Carlos. I know his wife, Amy.
Okay, so.
But I think, met Carlos.
We call him corporate. Okay. You know, he's involved in the podcast. Urban Float is the main sponsor of the podcast.
Really? Fantastic. Yeah. Great to
So know. He comes on every once in a while. Aww. What's great about Carlos is he has that, you know, that white-collar business mind, and okay. I don't. So he's been a great help to me trying to, you know, take the podcast to the next level.
Nice.
But he's on vacation right now, and he sent me pictures, and it looks like he's at Rehoboth Beach.
Oh.
But he's not. He's okay. He's down south at one of the... I don't know exactly where he's at, but he's, you know, wherever they go.
Maybe like the Outer Banks or
exactly.
something like that.
But when I looked at the picture, I'm like, that looks like our beach, you know? So I'm like, we live in an amazing place for vacation. We, you know, we get the beaches and all the trails, but it's nice to sometimes get away. Do you get to get away?
Absolutely. I don't go away in the summer. It rarely at this point. Off season, I go to Florida a fair amount. I go to Utah skiing. My mother lives out there. I skied since I was a kid. This year might be a little different. My daughter has a class trip to Spain, and I may shadow it. She didn't want me to be, she's 16. She didn't want me to be a chaperone, but I may choose to be in the same towns and cities or around that at the same time. So
my kid's going
switch
to Spain,
it up
I'm
a little
going.
Bit. Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling. I have not been to Spain yet, so, but we may do a little slightly different tour.
It's weird when our kids grow up, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time. I have one, and she's 16. She just started last week being able to drive by herself. So letting go of the worry, but also having some boundaries, a little firmer boundaries as to where she can go and, you know, what she's doing. So it's another step here in this parenting.
Well, just when you think you have it figured out, they grow another year.
Yeah. My
son's getting ready to turn 14 and okay. I have two boys and a daughter, and I have great relationships with all of them. We have so much fun but that, you know, the fun, and then now they're starting to, I feel like, a little bit take advantage of my coolness.
Absolutely.
So, I have this, you know, and you know the business, you get some tips every once in a while. So I usually take my tips and throw them in like a cup or something. And he babysat. We went to the Pathways to Success second annual Pay It Forward thing at Baywood this weekend. And I said, David, you're going to have to watch the kids for us. And so he did, and I told him I would pay him. And when we got home, after it was all said and done, I said, here's your money. And he goes, no, I already got it. I'm like, whoa, pump the brakes, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay out of the cup, mm-hmm. you know. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And I go, it's okay, but, you know, respect.
Exactly. And,
but, you know, they're great kids, and it's tough to have, like, he's my friend, you know. But, you know, I have to find that line, because I always say, you know, we're raising characters. We're raising, we're building character, not characters.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't want a little character running around my house. So mm-hmm. I have to draw that line in the sand, and it's tough. So in your 2 years.
And that line changes all the time, because the next thing you know, a wave comes up and washes it away. So you've got to.
Or they kick it out of the way.
Or something. Yeah,
no, I get it. It's tough. And I sometimes feel like just this young guy just driving an old car, you know. I feel like I still want to be like a kid with my son, and it's...
I know, I feel like I'm 20, so...
I would say I'm a 15-year-old kid driving a 50-year-old car,
exactly.
Looking out the window.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and then they'll be gone, and then we'll be really sad, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I actually have a 7-year-old.
Okay.
So...
You got a little while
some people,
to go.
I've talked to people, they're like, I can't wait, you know, my kids will be out of the house in this many years, and then I'll be free to do... what I guess, whatever they think they're going to do. And but my kids bring me a lot of, they keep me moving, you know, they keep
Absolutely.
Me in it.
Absolutely.
And I can't imagine when they're going to be gone, what I will be doing. Sitting in the sun.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll have a plan by then. When it gets closer to the horizon, I'm sure you and your wife will start saying, what do we really want to do now?
You know what we got this weekend? A chinchilla.
What is that exactly? I know it's furry.
It's a furry soft rat, really, is what I've determined.
Oh, my goodness.
And my daughter says, she goes, Daddy, I want a chinchilla. I was like, okay. Sounds good. Because they're always coming at me. They want an animal.
Of course.
We've got two cats. They really have been pounding me for a dog.
Of course. So you just said, I'll give you a chinchilla.
Yeah,
instead.
A chinchilla. I was like, yeah, all
sounds
right.
Sounds like fair.
Well, sure enough, PetSmart had them. I was like,
oh
great.
Goodness.
So off we go. We got this chinchilla. And it's, you know, it's not like a cat where you can just hold it. Every time I hold it and pet it, it turds on me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, this
no
is a
fun.
Disgusting little animal.
Yeah. Put him back in the shoebox.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Greer. We don't want any trouble. But
sorry.
It's a beautiful little.
In this lovely terrarium.
No, we got it. No, okay. We can't. No. Greer, it's a huge cage. It's an apartment, really.
How big is this little guy?
He's like this big.
Okay. All
He's
right.
like the size of maybe
like a.
If he didn't have any fur, like maybe a big avocado. And then throw fur on it and a tail. And his whiskers, they're always moving.
Like a guinea pig?
Kind of. I feel like we got guinea pigged is really what I feel like has happened.
Maybe that's really what it is. Okay.
But well. he's cute. His name's Max.
Okay.
And so I don't have chinchilla regret, but, you know.
You might want the dog instead. Well, the dog... I don't know.
Well, what it's really made me do is appreciate the cats because
there
I can we can hold the cats and the cat doesn't, you know, go out the bathroom on me, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Do you have any animals?
Yes. 2 cats, 2 dogs.
I love cats.
Yeah. I never really was a cat person until probably the last decade. Always dogs, horses. But yeah, I love cats now.
They're so independent.
They are. I love that.
But they're always getting in some mess. Do your cats go outside?
One does. One does not. Just because she was on our farm, and the farm, I'm afraid she'll go out and get hit by a car. She is terrorizing, though, one rug. And yes.
That's the only bad thing I don't like about cats.
That is an issue. And... it's a good thing she's really adorable.
Well, we have this giant leather couch, and the cats have systematically removed all the leather.
Oh, nice, yeah.
You know, I mean, it wasn't...
Well, now you have shredded leather couch.
Well,
it's a new fad.
It was like a faux leather. So whatever, it was a microfiber thin layer of leather, which they just removed. And now it's... But we're like, we need a new couch. But I'm like, well, if the cats are here...
right.
So we kind of live in like a junk house right now with this couch, but...
They do have these little nail tip covers. Have you seen them? They're the, we haven't tried them with her because you don't want to declaw them. And you can clip them, but I feel like that might not entirely take care of the issue. They have these little fake things that you put over them. I don't know how you get them on there, and I don't know if they work. Yeah. But they have all different colors.
Yeah. What's on your cat's nails?
Exactly.
Covers.
They're nail covers, so they don't destroy everything in the house.
And they're so, I mean, you know, because both of our cats, they go, they're indoor, outdoor cats. And, you know, beginning of spring, all of a sudden they start bringing things home.
Oh, yes. I love the little presents on the doorstep from my older cat, Boomer.
Bunnies.
Baby bunnies. It's, baby birds. We had a mouse the other day. It depends.
Yeah.
Nothing too large. But
well, one of the cats brought home this bunny, and
Yeah,
it wasn't pretty, and I felt really bad. And they say that the household cat is one of the biggest killers of wildlife.
Yes, and I think songbirds specifically is one that there's actually, I guess, some endangered
because of the cats.
Because of cats,
I can
say
my cats haven't brought home any birds, but they have taken care of some rabbits this year.
Well, it's survival of the fittest.
It is survival of the fittest. So how much are you working? I mean, is it? I can say that as a business owner, as a guy that works for himself, I think that was one of the hardest things for me. You know, to work. All of a sudden you have your own business. You like have freedom. You can make your own schedule.
Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah. So then you have to start working. And, you know, I'm only, you know, I work half day on Mondays. I work Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. I don't work Wednesdays. Of course, Wednesday seems to be the day everybody wants to come get their hair done. I'm like, I'm off, you know. But what kind of schedule do you keep?
Well, currently we're closed on Sundays at the center, except for services. So I always get Sunday off. We do offer a Pilates class, but I always have Sundays off, and I'm trying to get to the beach is always the goal. I might go down to the farmer's market in Ocean City. Sometimes I help my boyfriend do some deliveries to local restaurants after the market. But very chill, very relaxing day. There might be some vacuuming involved, laundry, that type of thing. Mondays, I try to take off as well. It just depends on business.
Right.
Usually, I can pull it off.
So, but Tuesday through Saturday.
Tuesday through Saturday. Mm-hmm. And occasionally, like last week, I did take off. I switched a regular Wednesday client because we went and saw the Rolling Stones Tuesday evening and weren't getting home till 2 in the morning. So I thought, I'll pass on that client, you know, move if he can move them. And so I ended up getting an extra day off this past week.
Do I dare ask how the Rolling Stones were?
I would say they were pretty amazing for guys in their late 70s. Mick looked like he had a little limp there, something a little going on with one of his hips.
No.
But I mean, I was thoroughly impressed.
Where'd you see him?
Charlie Watts, to be a drummer at 78, that's such a physical job or physical work for that type of musician. We were in Philadelphia at the Lincoln Financial Field or whatever it's
called.
Where
the Eagles play?
Yes.
Nice. Well, I just saw Billy Joel play.
I would have loved. He's one of my favorites.
My God. Did you see some people were posting videos of it on Facebook? The amount of chairs that were, I mean, oh my God, I don't know how many people.
I'm afraid I missed it, but I know what I'll be doing this afternoon. I'll check it out.
I mean, there was like, you know, I guess it's where Orioles play at Camden Yards.
Camden Yards,
so
okay.
They had the stage, and then like all of the field was full of chairs, and this person was taking a video from
it. So you saw him at Camden Yards?
I saw a video on Facebook that somebody had posted.
Oh, okay.
My, there's a family friend of ours who is turning 70, who was going to see Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden for his 70th appearance at Madison Square Garden on Jerry's 70th birthday.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
And, 777.
And he's got some money, so he can afford those tickets.
Those tickets,
I'm sure they are not cheap.
I would imagine not.
That's an event.
Sounds great.
But What was the point? I was asking you something. Oh, so, but you're working a lot. You're staying pretty busy.
I stay pretty busy, yeah. So my spring was really nuts, so I kind of feel like even though this is our busy season, I've calmed down a little. I'm not taking work home with me and working all night, like on the laptop, or it's not invading every moment of my life.
What work could you take home and work on?
Working emails, working on social media posts, doing, we have our mind-body software. I'm always trying to figure out that it's not the most user-friendly, or I'm not maybe the most savvy. Yes, promotions at it. Just, there's always some glitch going on.
Have you heard of Vigaro?
No, I haven't.
I'll tell you about it. It's an amazing software for, I mean, I use it for the salon. I'm actually using it for the podcast now, too.
Awesome. Well, the beauty of what I'm finding my mind body is good for is mainly our yoga, and our classes, and online payments, which we could use other software for. But the thing with mind body, people that are really into their yoga classes or Pilates classes and they're traveling from city to city, the first thing I'm finding that they go to is their mind body to see which studios are hooked up to that. And, you know, at first we're not using it really for our services at all. People call in, they email, message on Facebook, but for the actual yoga classes, it's now starting to pay off, and I'm starting to see why it would benefit us to continue with it. And there are other software that does the same thing, maybe less monthly fee, but this one, like I said, we're now seeing a lot of people, seeing why, and we are getting a lot of clients through MindBody, which this being our first year having classes, I'm really trying to get that going and take advantage of any way to, and trial and error, we'll figure it out. So,
salon software can be a real struggle, and when I said Vigaro, that's just what I use.
Okay.
If you, I mean,
it would probably be great with the massage end of things. But again, I find we're not doing enough online scheduling with our services.
Well, I wanted to ask you is that, and you mentioned social media, you know, are you doing Facebook Live?
No, not it's so, at all.
You know what? It almost seems like it's
I think we did it once for one of our shiatsu talks. We do free community talks, and we did do that. And I think we had quite a few viewers for that. But that's just something not on my radar enough of.
Well, I think you and I are probably, it's not important how old you are, but I know that we're in an age where it's scary. You know, it's intimidating. We look silly. We immediately attack ourselves. Oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this. But it almost seems like it's what you have to do. You know, for this podcast, I've decided I'm going to do a Facebook Live every morning.
Awesome.
I'm updating, just sharing what we're doing, sharing some of the people that are coming on. I did one this morning. I talked about you coming on. I'll do one tomorrow, and I'll share that we had a great time.
Cool.
I look silly. My face looks terrible. I don't care. I'm just doing it. It just seems like the era of what we're... Is era? I don't know if era is the right word, but it just seems like the time.
It's a natural progression of things, and with and then all the Instagram.
That's a whole other thing. I actually shut off my Instagram because I wasn't really digging it.
I can't stand it, to be honest with you. Facebook, I've got a pretty good grasp on it, and as far as marketing, really having some fun with that. Instagram, I don't know what it is. I think I'm just a little too old to get it.
Well, that's the thing. For instance, I've been trying to do some stuff with the salon now. We're bringing, you know, I do chair rental here. So I've started doing a Facebook Live for the salon talking about, you know, if we're chair rental. I don't know how the massage, if you do table rental or if you just, however that works. But I know, you know, chair rental is a great transition from working for somebody to owning your own spot.
Right, without that overhead, you're not taking on this whole big machine.
It gives you a little taste of it. You get you know, learn some responsibility.
Sure.
Without the giant risk of, you know, a lease or something like that.
And so they're renting it, you're not taking a percentage then.
They just rent the chair for the week. And
nice.
I have one that's leaving, but we've already filled it. I have another lady that's working. And then another lady's coming down on Wednesday who's interested in the other chair. Cool. So, but that all happened because I started doing the Facebook Live video. Wow. And there was a girl that's going to there's a girl that's, or a lady. Is that all right if I say girl? Is that offensive? A gal. There's a gal leaving, you know, and the other gal, she's going to come and take it over. But I had posted this Facebook Live video, you know, promoting that we were looking, had some chairs that were available. Huh. Well, right away she reaches out. I still want that chair, you know, like, so I guess the point is, you know, it does help.
Well, it sounds great. I might have to check that out.
I can show you. If you care, if you are interested, kind of what I do, we can both feel like a little uncomfortable together.
Absolutely.
But you know what? It's, you know, I guess for me, this podcast is really about, like I said in the beginning, about promoting one small business, helping another small business. And, you know, if I'm going to be of value to anybody, I have to kind of, you know, get eyes on us and get people that are interested. And that's just because I haven't really done that before, and I've been kind of putting my head in the sand with saying, oh, that's silly. But there's this young girl in NASCAR who's really moving up through NASCAR, and I use this just as an example because I saw it. I saw a podcast with this girl, and she's building a huge fan base, because she does a Facebook Live after, like, practice, after team meetings, you know, after sponsor meetings, you know, doing autographs. She does her little Facebook Live. Nice. And she's silly, and of course she's young, so it's great for her, but mm-hmm. people somehow, I'm not a big fan of myself sometimes, you know, and especially when it comes to, like, putting myself out there, I'm like, well, no one's gonna like this, but some people find it interesting.
Surprise, absolutely, stepping out of your comfort zone, seeing what might happen.
Are you trying to build your book business?
Absolutely. I'm trying to build my other massage therapist books, really. I'm trying to help them grow. I feel I've reached a point where I'm content.
Yep.
And that's where I was a few years ago when I decided to expand and hire contracted therapists. Because for a few years it was just myself. I did rent a room, one of the treatment rooms, early on, and that works to some degree, but I think I saw a vision for the space and what I was looking to do. And that started even, back when I was in massage school. And so just slowly over the years, I'm getting closer to that goal. And I actually, in my now seventh year, I've kind of reached that point. And now to really make it successful.
We were, Tila, the girl the girl that works here, we were talking this morning, and this is one of those weeks. And I don't know if you have them in massage, but there's a traditionally kind of a slow week.
Absolutely.
And you know, a lot of people go on vacation this time of year. So, you know, middle of summer, you're super busy and, you know, I won't speak for you, I'll speak for me. I get super busy and then I start to become, you know, bothered and, you know, mm-hmm. struggling to, I call it compassion exhaustion.
Yeah.
And
that's when you need that massage.
That's exactly
right.
And
when I need one too.
Absolutely.
You don't want to resent your clients. They're your bread and butter and they're what bring you joy, you know, there, you gotta grease the wheels there.
But you have, you know, you go through summer and then you have a week like this where you, like, I didn't have any appointments today, Monday. Yeah. I usually am booked up, you know, I only work till noon, but it's usually booked. I didn't have anything. And I was like, okay, well, that's fine. I can do other things. But then I'm like, So me and Tila were talking. It's like, yeah, we get to that, you know, we get busy and bothered. And then all of a sudden you have a week when the book isn't that busy. And then you're like, uh-oh. What have I done? And then
now you enjoy it.
Right, exactly. But I don't think like that. So now I'm like,
what's wrong?
Good morning.
Why don't I have
people? Oh my
gosh,
give me a hug. Right. It's like all of a sudden I have the moment. So it's funny
And we're in an area, I mean, I know you're
Luton.
Not right in the heart of the tourists, but there is that element of being in a tourist area and the ebb and flow of people. And it might depend on the weather. It might depend on who knows, but there sometimes is no rhyme or reason about how slow or busy we are. We got slammed last Thursday. We were dead on the Saturday before. Like there's the days you think you might be busy. It doesn't always work out that way. It just, and I try not to worry too much about it and let go. And it usually all works out anyhow.
It does.
And that extra time off, it's summer. Go to the beach and jump in the ocean.
My buddy Matt. Did you know Matt Haley?
No, we may have met years ago. I know of him and I kind of know his story. So
he used to tell me, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it'll all work out.
I think that's a great
and nails
way
it, right?
To see things. Yeah.
I love Matt.
So, yeah.
So, I got that. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Keep your nose clean. Keep your working. And
So what's the rest of the summer look like for you? You brought a basket of some.
I brought a basket of some gorgeous organic produce, just some leftovers from the market yesterday.
Should we plug your boyfriend? I mean,
if you'd like, Lawrence McDonald of Quindaqua Farms. It's located down in Somerset County, Maryland. And he is
Lawrence
McDonald.
Lawrence McDonald.
Uh-huh. Somerset County.
What's
Maryland.
The farm?
Quindaqua Farms.
Quindaqua.
It's actually, Quindaqua is the name of the Native American tribe that was indigenous to that area. And a hurricane in the 1600s wiped them out. Mm. And they were an agriculture-based tribe. So the land down there is extremely fertile.
Wow.
And so the farm is blessed with that name, and that's to honor them and their spirits that are there. They keep everything flourishing down there. We've got probably about 5,000 tomato plants right now. Mm. There's usually anywhere around 15 different types of lettuces. I'm plugging in all kinds of good stuff. And he's got definitely a green thumb and can grow pretty much anything. And it's over the 20 years he's been certified organic, he's figured out what grows where. Obviously, there's a lot of crop rotation with certified organic farming, so that can change things a little bit. But kind of has learned how to yield the most crop out of an area. The farm, he really just farms about just under 20 acres. It's a 200-acre farm, but it's mainly wetlands and or loblolly pines.
We'll put that. Does they have a web address? Or something, because we could put that in your details of your podcast.
There's a Facebook page. I don't think the farm itself doesn't have a website, but his email is quindaquafarms@gmail.com. And that's Quindocqua.
I believe you.
Yeah. But he's at the Ocean City Market on 142nd Street. Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. They do have a Tuesday market, but he needs a day off, which is today.
I love food. Yeah. I love
good food, good healthy food, full of nutrients.
I only eat one meal a day.
Oh wow! Okay, so you're a faster, intermittent fasting.
I call it getting back to reality.
Okay.
Well, it's funny, but it's. I mean, when did we become so entitled to eat so much food all day?
I agree.
So I call it back to reality, intermittent fasting. But when I started doing that, So if I'm only going to eat, and I do just supper, so I eat dinner. When I'm going to eat one meal.
And a lot of coffee, I'm guessing.
Well, you know, the other thing is I gave up sugar in my coffee and cream. So I only drink black coffee. And I drink more coffee now black than I did with sugar and cream.
Wow, yeah.
That's a whole different subject right there.
Exactly. Maybe add a little collagen to it. Have you ever done collagen or protein powder?
No.
That could be considered a meal, but the collagen...
Well, but what I was going to say is that when I started just eating one meal, I started becoming very aware of what it was going to be. Like, prior to that, I wasn't spending any extra money on organic.
I see.
But now, when I'm having my one meal, I'm I'll spend the extra, what, 10 yeah. cents or 20 right, cents right. on organic.
More for less.
Right. But it's it's caused me to really pay attention to food mm-hmm. and understanding why we eat it all. And when you brought that big basket of awesomeness in, and what it is I think, is it here? Where is it? Bring it up. Let's talk about it. Because that's...
Absolutely.
I love grown food. Look at that.
Some Napoli carrots. Oh my God,
those are adorable. Is that dirt on the side of those?
Oh, yeah. The dirt's got all the minerals. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Some Swiss chard.
I'm guessing you brought that for me. Please say you did. Because if you just...
All of this is for you. Green kale?
Leaf teased me, I'd be upset.
Absolutely. No, I wouldn't do that. That would just be cruel.
Oh my gosh.
Red and green leaf lettuces, green leaf kale. I've got some bok choy. Maybe you guys do a stir fry. Mm. Chop it up on an omelet. More of the little carrots. Your kids should probably like this.
Can I have one?
This.
Can we eat the carrot right now?
They are so delicious and sweet. Yeah, I'm afraid I'm attached to this, but how about I toss you a carrot down?
You're attached to... Oh, the headphones. I see. Give me one. Oh, my God.
Sorry, I just hit him with a carrot, guys.
Is that dirt on there?
Okay,
oh, I love
it.
Can I take a bite? Yeah.
I do it all the time. You'll be fine. And then we got some beautiful tomatoes.
That is delicious.
Isn't that the sweetest carrot? It's just... Even like a big bag of organic carrots at the store, there's a difference in the flavor. I mean, that's an heirloom variety. I don't know all the stuff about it.
I like the dirt on it. It's perfect.
And the dirt is something, too. I mean, that's
good.
Magic dirt, by the way.
I won't tell anybody.
Yeah,
well, thank you for that.
Be careful. I'm just kidding. You're welcome. But there's a nice little... Now, I don't know if your kids will all like everything.
So, are you into, like, nutrition?
Absolutely. I worked in health food for 5 years in my early 20s and was kind of introduced to organic at that time. So, that was, late 90s.
Have you ever heard of a lady by the name of Rhonda Patrick?
No, I have not. Please enlighten me.
I can only tell you a little bit, but she's just so smart on how food and cholesterol and all these mm-hmm. different things, all these weird things that we've been taught, and I won't get into it, but look her up, Dr.
Okay.
Rhonda Patrick. She was on a podcast last night. I fell asleep listening to her. She's so smart, and she breaks, just cholesterol, just that the subject of cholesterol. I mean, right away, I think as a person, as a human, we think, oh, cholesterol, bad.
No.
It's a bad thing. And when she talks about it, and teaches us or is teaching how cholesterol is very important. We need cholesterol.
We need it for our hair. We need it for our brains. We need it for our eyes.
Cells.
We need it for everything.
Cholesterol builds cells. It rebuilds cells. And the way that cholesterol works, the LDLs and the HDLs, how it works is very interesting. And the fact that, when we go to have a physical, our yearly, mm-hmm. We go get blood work done. And she talks about how our cholesterol levels can change all throughout the day. If you're under a lot of stress, even being frightened creates anxiety, creates stress in our body, creates changes in our LDLs, I'm not exactly positive how it works, but I just know that it's funny how we take a one test, one screen, one, layout of a cholesterol test, and we base our whole year on it, whether it's through medications. It's just crazy.
And I kind of think that's the kind of where it's kind of going wrong with testing and medicine, There's also...
nobody wants to pay for it.
Well, Johns Hopkins also did a study, and I hope I'm not misquoting this, but at least a minimum of 2 times in our lifetime will cancer be present in our body. So if you just happen to be testing at that time, we might start into this whole other... journey, the process from that, like, what if you didn't test then? Or what if we're not doing testing every year, but it's a machine. And I don't want to get into all that.
No, but it's very,
piss a few people.
You know, the problem
off,
with it is that we don't really know, so nobody wants to talk about it mm-hmm. because we don't want to look like an idiot, but it's fine. I'm an idiot when it comes to it, but I can tell you what. The problem is that insurance won't pay for a lot of screening. Insurance mm-hmm. won't pay, they'll pay for one blood workup, I guess, a year. We should really probably do 3 a day for 3 days. to get
that
an idea.
That might make sense, or just not do it and go the old school route, looking at our tongue, looking at how we feel, getting in touch with our bodies, looking at tongue, all the other things that, say, Chinese medicine has done for 5,000 years.
Our breath, and the smell of your breath.
Your breath, absolutely. The tone of your voice.
Yep.
Your eyes, your face. We can read all of that. There's mapping that connects us with our body. So, corporate. You know, there's all kinds of stuff. But, yeah, I'm kind of way out there with that stuff. So,
But yeah. You mean way out there is like you don't...
Way out there, I don't go to a doctor on a regular basis for regular testing. You know, if something feels off, I'm more likely to take a vitamin or change my diet or do something like that. I don't take pharmaceuticals. I suppose emergency medicine or something really severe would be the exception. But again, that's... Usually I find you get into taking some type of OCD, over-the-counter medicine or pharmaceutical, and it has a host of all these side effects. And next thing you know, you've got the snowball effect happening, and then you're on take. I see it with my clients all the time. I see it with just family members, other people in my life. And next thing you know, you've got all these problems, and it seems like if you just address maybe the root of it or tweak something in your lifestyle, diet, exercise, something like that, you might just...
I'm going to have to find this podcast and send it to you because I watched her last night. And
I would love to.
Dr. Rhonda Patrick is her name. Great. And she is just, I mean, I want to see if she's on tour. I want to go watch one of her presentations because it was just that
good. Get the other piece with cholesterol, which is fascinating, is the standards of what healthy cholesterol level should be has decreased and decreased over the last 20 years, if not longer, where the levels are getting lower. So therefore there's more of a need to start prescribing it now it's down to like, I don't even know what the levels are, but 20 years ago, healthy level was like 230 for HEL. Now I think it's around
200. Because I think pharmaceutical companies want you to take their medicine.
Of course they do, and they're training our doctors, and they're also like getting our doctor, you know, it's
greed.
It's greed.
Isn't it weird as we get older, we just become so like, I'm figuring it out. I know what you've been pulling on me.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it.
Yeah, I know what you're pulling on everyone.
I know what you're doing now.
I don't want you to pull it over on me.
I got you.
So
somebody told me that TGI Fridays closed down.
Really?
Yep.
Just the one locally or all of them?
Just the one locally. They went to, the employees showed up to work and they said, sorry, we're closed.
Wow. Huh. I wonder why. Maybe
breaking
too
news.
Much breaking news flash.
Too much fried food.
Exactly. Ooh, I have to be honest with you. I'm not sure I've ever eaten at a TGI Fridays.
Well, I think it's good for two things, big fruity drinks and apps.
Okay.
And I don't drink and... Yeah. I don't eat apps, so I haven't been. Mm. I did go once, actually. I shouldn't say that. I did go once, and they had these deep-fried green beans that were kind of good.
Okay.
You know, like you dip them like French fries.
Yeah, sure. Just don't eat them every day.
Well, you won't be eating because they closed.
So will your arteries if you have enough right now.
Well, so listen, we've been talking for an hour.
Oh, wow. That went fast.
What's the place? Name your place one more time where we can go find you below.
Heartwish Healing Center.
Heartwish Healing Center. Mm-hmm. Are you looking for massage therapists to come there? Are you?
We could use another one, although now or two. But we're actually, the ones I have, we're working it out so that we're covering everything. And, you know, it's just like even in a restaurant with servers, too many, no one's making enough money. So there's a fine line to booking everyone up or, you know, you want everyone to flourish. And
that's the same. I go through the same thing.
Spread it around too thin, then it's...
Right now we have a great group. I'm afraid, you know, anytime you introduce someone new, you're like, because this, you know, it could all fly off the trail.
Absolutely, yeah.
Left, boom, we're all gone.
And we're a flaky bunch. We, you know, we kind of float around and we're talking about your chakras and and energy and this and that. And sometimes we have a hard time getting scheduled or committing to something. So it's just kind of par for the course.
Well, Greer, I love your energy. You're a super nice person. I appreciate it. I appreciate you bringing me some snacks.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
I'm going to have you write down your boyfriend's farm because, first of all, that I like the story.
Yeah.
You know, the backstory about the farm and the Indians, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up in New Mexico.
Okay,
and
awesome.
A lot of Indians, unfortunately, a lot of poverty, mm-hmm. and it's a very sad situation. So, you know, anytime I hear about that, it always catches my ear because it's a sad place, that whole story. But the fact that they're down there farming is awesome. I love it when a friend of mine's husband now, he walks the forest and he picks mushrooms. You know, what's
awesome.
It called?
I don't know what it is.
He's gathering.
he's gathering
stuff.
Well,
all year he gathers, you know, whether it's like little herbs.
Foraging. Foraging.
He's out foraging. Yeah. And I love that. It's just cool stuff that we have. So I appreciate the story. We'll put that into the description.
Cool.
We'll put a description of your place. And then you and me start doing some Facebook Live.
Awesome. Sounds great. All right. Goals. We've got fall goals.
I hope you had a good time.
I did.
Thanks for the time.
Much.
I'll talk to you later, dear.
Awesome.
Bye.